All right. So don't stand yet, but go ahead and turn to our place in Ephesians chapter 6. It was exactly 1 year ago today that my wife and I, our kids in Nebraska, but my wife and I loaded up in our white Toyota van, you know, the old one parked outside of our house, and drove down here, packed it with stuff, drove down here, and followed Brother Carl and Brother Sean and Nathaniel with a car hauler packed with all of our earthly belongings to move here. And didn't know that at the time we were going to pull into the driveway of what would be our new home and have it packed with people smiling, excited to have us here, and willing to help us move. And had no idea how close we would become to some of you, and how much like family a lot of you would become over the next year. And over that next year, we've had the opportunity to have a small part ministering to your teenagers, and have the opportunity to have a small part in a bus ministry that's been around and thriving for very near half a century. And I cannot find the words to say how much of a blessing it's been to be here, and how much like home this place has become, and how much like family you all have become. And so thank you for the past year. We're happy to be here. Had all of that in my notes so that I wouldn't cry like a baby when I said it. And I'll say this too. I don't intend for this to be a long message. I never do. And I know that some of the teenagers probably don't believe me when I say that anymore. But I'm always honored to stand before you, and I'm thankful to Pastor for the opportunity to preach and just to open our Bibles and just to share something that God has said and how that applies to us today. My prayer today is that this message would be clear, it would make sense, and that on Thursday you would see how it applies to your life, and that when inevitably, when someone cuts you off on Friday on your way home from work for the weekend, that you would see how this applies to that situation as well. And so let's read it together. If you would stand with me one last time. I know we probably have these verses memorized at this point, but we'll read Ephesians 6, verse 10 down to verse 17. We're going to stop halfway through 17, if that's okay with you. Any objections? None objections? Okay. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation." Would you join me in prayer one last time? Ask the Lord's help. Father, I come to you and just ask for your help today. I would struggle to think of a message that I would feel more like a hypocrite to preach. Lord, I know that this is, and I know that I'm not alone, Lord, but I know that this is something that we all struggle with, something that is a daily decision. And so, Father, I ask for your help. I pray that this message would be clear, that it would be concise. Lord, that you'd be pleased with it and that you would work through it, Lord. And Lord, I just ask for your presence and your power. And I pray that you would speak to your people, that we would, every one of us, hear from you, and that we would leave having a better idea of what it means to take the helmet of salvation, Lord. And I thank you again for the opportunity you've given us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So we have been covering the armor of God as found in Ephesians 6 for our summer Bible series, and so I know that you're well aware, and it's been a blessing to me to hear, and the message I've been able to preach before, and this message has been a blessing in the study, and I trust that it's been that way for you too, and so I'm excited to continue that, but before we get into the message, before we get into the message, I want to talk about preaching for a little bit. Okay, and I remember my first semester in homiletics, the study of preaching out at Heartland, and we talked about working through the book Biblical Preaching by Haddon Robinson, and it's the book on like biblical expository preaching, and like many Bible colleges use this book. And I remember talking about how that a message should be focused on an idea like from the biblical text, and how that it shouldn't be like a shotgun and have many like a bunch of different ideas bounce around, but it should be focused on an idea from the biblical text. And I remember that we called that a CIT, like a central idea of the text. And I remember that Brother Sam Davison would say you shouldn't get up and say this is the CIT of my text. Like the audience, the listeners should pick up on it. And I say that to say we're going to break that rule tonight. I'm just going to tell you up front what the central idea of the message is. This is it. Every Christian needs to put on the helmet of salvation to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that's it. That's the idea. That's the idea of the text. It's right there. It's simple. But Paul is saying every single Christian, all of us, if you're Christian and your desire is to stand against the wiles of the devil, you need the helmet of salvation. And I know that, you know, that's simple. We would have all come to that conclusion just by reading it. But it's good for us to hear. Okay, so the second rule that I'm breaking tonight is this. You're supposed to, in a message, take time and focus on, like, once you have that idea out, everyone hears it, you're supposed to take time on explaining it and then proving it, like, if there are any doubts to it, and then you apply it. And so we're going to break that rule, too, because at this point in our series, you all are well aware of the background of Ephesians. You know what's going on in the city. You know why it is Paul said what he said and what's going on. And so we have the benefit, and this could make it a short message, but we have the benefit of having all of that behind us. And so the idea has been explained. I trust that I don't have to take a whole lot of time explaining that we need the helmet of salvation if we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm not going to insult your intelligence by standing here and trying to prove to you that a soldier going into battle would probably want a helmet or some kind of protection on his head. So we all know that, okay? And we know that it's easily understood that in the same way a helmet would protect a soldier, we need to think on and dwell on and be familiar with the fact of our salvation in order to be protected from spiritual assaults. That's what Paul is saying. You remember in the third grade when you first studied analogies, and there were things like this. It was blue is to sky as green is to grass. Yeah, did somebody say snake? I wasn't expecting snake. No, grass, right? Or like chocolate is to factory, a chocolate factory is to chocolate. So like it produces what like politicians are to lies, right? And so chocolate factory produces chocolate, politicians produce lies. So you get what an analogy is. And Paul here, he's making an analogy. He wants us to understand. Paul is saying like helmet is to soldier what salvation and dwelling on and focusing on what salvation is to a Christian. It protects your head. It's to guard your thoughts. It defends your mind from spiritual assaults. And so it's like Paul says in another area, another part of the Bible, reckon yourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're saved, then you are dead to sin and you are alive unto God. But he says, reckon yourself. So think that way. Let that fact like dwell in your mind and from there, let it work out in your life. Think that way. Reckon yourselves. Think on your salvation. That's the application. That's the application for tonight. Think on your salvation. Every Christian needs to put on the helmet of salvation to stand against the wiles of the devil. No explanation needed, right? I don't think we need, there's not much to prove here. I mean, Paul says it pretty clearly, and I think we all have a good agreement that what the Bible says is true. And so I'm not going to take a whole lot of time proving. Paul says it, and he says, without protection of the helmet of salvation, you won't be able to stand. So what we're going to spend most of our time on tonight is application. How do we apply this? What are we supposed to do with this? How do I let this work out on Thursday and Friday and Saturday? How does considering the fact of my salvation, how will that protect me in my Christian walk? What is the salvation that's supposed to guard me? That's supposed to guard my mind like a helmet protects a soldier. I'm happy. I was happy that I got to cover the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, because that one, that armor, and this one, they go hand in hand. Acceptance of the gospel of good news, the gospel of peace, the gospel of good news of Jesus Christ, of the identity, acceptance of the identity of the Savior and Lord of the whole world, of the whole universe, acceptance of Him, the fact that Jesus died not for his sins, he had none, but for your sins and for my sins, and that on the third day he rose with the power of God from the dead. That fact that he was buried and rose again, the fact that he conquered death and hell and the grave, and the fact that he lives, and because he lives, I can live. That's the gospel. That because he was made alive again, I can be born again. And that because he rose never to face death again, never to die, I can have eternal life. The good news that his finished work, it means for me that I can have a relationship with the God of the entire universe, the God who I rejected and the God who I cursed and who I spurned and who I ran away from. I can have a relationship with that God. This is good news. The God that I denied, but loved me still. Salvation from sin and from death and from hell. Salvation from loneliness and salvation from a life without peace and a life without hope. Paul's talking about salvation from a life of confusion and doubt and worry. Salvation from all of those things. Salvation from a life working toward a goal that I would never reach. A goal that I would never be able to attain to. That's the salvation that he's talking about. We could spend all day talking about it. And I'm thankful for it. But Paul says that salvation, the fact of and the truth of that salvation, it's supposed to be protection from the spiritual assault of the enemy. Okay. So what you see here, I know that the soul is not the mind, and so we're going to talk about what that means. And I know that those are two different words, but there's some overlap. And so when we talk about application, this is what we're going to go through, and this is what we're going to look at, and this is how we're going to think about it. What you see here is just a dynamic that someone has put together, and this is how most of us would understand. This is how we exist. The Bible says that man is the only creature that God created in His image. And the same way that God exists as a Trinity, He created man in His image, unique among His other creations. Miss Missy actually was telling us that she talked to the fifth grade girls about this during Kids Crusade, that we're not like animals, we're not like every other animal, that God gifted us with an eternal living soul. We're special among His creation. God gave us an eternal soul. Man exists as a body, right? You and I exist as a body, a soul, and a spirit. We're going to start with that outside ring there. The body. Okay, how we all have a body, every one of us. If you're here, you're somebody, you have a body because you're here. We all have a body, an earthly, fleshly, made of dirt and dust body. We live in this body, right? And I want to be clear, you're not your body. You have a body, but we live in the body. You are a living soul created in God's image with a body. You have a body. Everybody has a body. We said that. And then we also have a soul. And the part of our soul, this is where like it gets a little fuzzy to explain, because this is the part of you that you are. The Bible in like other places, it's synonymous, not every time, but sometimes synonymous with the heart, like the most inner part of who you are, who you really are in yourself. It's your soul. The part of you that lives on after this earthly, fleshly, dirt and dust body finally runs out of gas, it's your soul. And Adam was created with the spirit. Pastor talked about this on Sunday morning a little bit, how that this is the part of Adam that died that day when he sinned against God, that this is the part of us, that you and I that was born dead. And this is the part of us that when we came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and accepted that gospel of peace, this is the part of us that was quickened, like Paul said in chapter 2, that was made alive. And this is the part of us that lets us commune and relate to the God of everything. So we'll talk about the soul. I don't have a Bible, exact Bible verse for what you see, but this is a good way for us to think about it. And we all need to recognize that the man that God created in his own image, that the eternal, holy, ever-existent God created in his image, that it's probably gonna, that creation probably gonna be a little hard to explain in a series of slideshows. And so I get that this is not at all comprehensive, but this is a good way for us to think about it for our application today, right? So the soul is made up of your mind. Okay, this is the part of you that should like think and reason and come to conclusions. This is the part of you that that makes plans, and this is the part of you that allows you to think, your intellect. So the mind, it's made up of the will. So this is the part of you that decides. That wants and desires, that chooses. God gave us a free will. We're not made robots, but we have a free will. We can choose our own path. We're made with that ability. And then the emotions. Okay, that's a part of us. This is a part that God gave us. God gave us emotions. We should use them in the right way. God gave us emotions. This is a part of us that paints the world in color, that allows us to feel. Can you imagine, just for a second, going through life without any of these? I know every one of us probably can think of someone that we think is going through life without their mind. But can you imagine? So going through life without emotions, without being able to feel, or God designed us with all of these so that we would use them, and they're all to be used in the right order. We need these. God designed us to use them in the right way. So we're going to talk about the wrong way. Okay, naturally, through you and I, through our inclination, our natural way is downward. We naturally run away from God, downward and away from God. It's our natural state. It was our natural state before salvation, and even after salvation, even after being indwelt with the Holy Spirit. It's we have this in us. Jim Berg calls it the old man residue. And so we're still in this fleshy body on this fleshly earth, and so we have in us. We have this nature that moves away from God and runs away from God. It's still in us, and so naturally we go downward. Here's an example. If I live my life based on what I want, my will, my desires, if I live my life based on what I want and my own decisions and desires, and I let my own desires, my will, fuel how I feel about certain aspects of life, so will to emotions, and then I let how I feel about things determine the decisions and the way that I go, then I'm headed down. You see the downhill? It's a pretty simple illustration. So the arrow is pointing down. And so if our natural way is this, or if I live my entire life, I live my entire life based on how I feel at the moment, how I feel about a situation, how my emotions, about some incident or some accident happened, then this is what's going to happen. I'm going on that same downward spiral. Someone does me wrong and I'm angry. Someone overlooks me and I'm hurt. Someone makes me happy and I want to spend time with that person. If I live my life completely based on my feelings, it may feel good at times, but I'm on that downward slope. If I let my emotions dictate how I think of the world, this person's bad because they hurt my feelings. This church isn't good because it doesn't feel good. I won't do this that God wants me to do because it makes me feel uncomfortable. Right, we've all heard things like this. We've all said things like this. This part of the message about emotions is not just for women. I know that there's some guys in here who are thinking, oh, that's for women because women are emotionally driven. But honestly, there's not a man in here that hasn't at some point been driven by emotion. And usually the emotion that we're driven by, it's anger. Something happens that offends us, or it's pride, and we're driven by it. The emotion that drives men most frequently is anger or pride. But if I let my emotions dictate how I think of the world, and I let my emotions dictate my reasonings and my opinions, and they're all based on how something makes me feel, I'm on the same downward spiral. I can't live my life based on my will, what I want, what I desire. You can't live your life that way. You can't live your life based on emotions. And so you might think, oh, okay, well, we're supposed to live our life based on our mind, on our intellect, on our reasoning. But we live our life based on our reasoning. We're on the same downward cycle. And I can't say this clearly enough, that we will, you and I, in this world, in this life, often we're going to have thoughts or ideas or feelings or emotions or desires or wants that don't line up with reality, that don't line up with righteousness, we're going to face those. And that's where the helmet of salvation comes in. Okay, this is where the intentional and deliberate remembering and thinking on our salvation, this is where it comes into play. The right way. If I decide to put on the helmet of salvation, if I decide to think on my salvation, to dwell on my salvation, and to let it affect every area of my life, of my being, if I let that fact of my salvation, and I base my life on that, then I can be protected from those weapons that Satan would use, those thoughts, those emotions, those desires that Satan would use to move me away from God, that Satan would use to derail my Christian life. When I have an emotion that tells me to react sinfully, or the doubt that doesn't line up with reality, or I face that crippling depression, or the paralyzing anxiety or paralyzing fear, when I have those feelings, then if I would remind myself, this feeling, this emotion, this season, though it may be strong and overwhelming, though at the moment I may not be able to see anything else, this feeling, it doesn't line up with the salvation that he's given me. That this feeling, this emotion, though it may be overwhelming, it doesn't line up with who I am in him and what I'm to believe as a child of God. If I'll remember that in the moment, then I can be protected from those weapons. If I have this nagging or lingering thought, this lingering idea, and when I'm tempted to go at a situation in my own reasoning with my own ideas and my own schemes, if I in that moment, if I remember that I'm saved. He's given me salvation. He's never failed me. He's never given me reason to doubt. If I focus on my salvation and who he is, then in that moment, I'll remember I failed countless times, but he's never failed me. And it'll set me on the right track. If I focus on my salvation, or when I have a desire or a want or a wish that's at odds with what he wants from my life, whether it's sinful or just not what he has planned for you, if in that moment, if you would remember, and if I would remember, if we would think on our salvation and maybe think on how that Jesus, before he went to the cross, prayed, Father, not your will, but mine, then I would be protected. I'd be able to stand. Might be talking to a teenager. You know what to say, how to say it, and your parents try to lovingly and gracefully, though not perfectly, but they lovingly and from their wisdom and from God's wisdom, they try to guide you and discipline you the right way. And somewhere inside you, I know because I felt it, but somewhere inside you, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, they don't know. They don't understand. They don't get it, but you may not say those words, but with your actions, your choices and your decisions, it's the way you live your life. And I can tell you that right then, you're living your life based on your own mind, your own intellect, your own reasoning, and you're going through life defenseless. You're going into battle without a helmet. And I may be talking to a mom who lives each day battling and struggling with waves of emotions and feelings that seem so real. But in your heart and in the innermost part of you, you know that they don't line up with reality. Instead of living a life of doubt and fear and anxiety, in that moment, if you would remember the Lord Jesus and his salvation, put on the helmet of salvation and let that be the basis of your actions and your desires and not the changing emotions that we feel, you'd be protected. And there might be a man here, lived your entire life driven by desire. You see something you want and you go for it. There's a relationship you want to be in and you follow through with it. There's somewhere that you want to go. You have that desire and you follow through with it. There's a job you want. You went for it. And I can tell you right now that doing that, what you're doing, you're living your life by your desires. And you're on that downward spiral. But Paul says that if we're to live a Christian life, We are to stand against all of the wiles of the devil and all of the tricks that would put us in jeopardy and would harm us, that would lead us astray. If we're to stand against those things, this is what it's going to take. Putting on the helmet of salvation. And this is how that looks on Thursday and on Friday. It looks like temptation coming and you and I making a conscious decision and making a conscious effort to remember the salvation that God's given us and let that salvation affect how we live our life. Not our emotions, not our desires, not our wills, not our reasoning. And if we do that, if we choose to do that, then we are on the upward slope following the Lord. Put on the helmet of salvation. Don't go through life defenseless. Take the helmet of salvation. Would you pray with me?